Everyone who has come out into the church today, those who may be watching by live stream this event. And we're here today, of course, to observe a time of remembering and honoring our dear friend Artie Klicka. And so we will begin today with a reading from the Word of God and a word of prayer. Go from there. And we're reading from 1 Corinthians 15, first of all. Where the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthian believers, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, and the resurrection of the dead comes through a man, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and then he who comes, and those who belong to him. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, as the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written shall come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm and let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we who know the Savior and have embraced the truth of your word are thankful to know that our lives are not lived in vain, and they're not without meaning in Christ. We're thankful for your assurance that our existence does not cease at death, the death of this frail human body. Rather, your word assures us that to be absent from this body for us in Christ is to be present with the Lord. We're told that in his presence, his immediate presence, is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And we're comforted and encouraged that you have told us that we should not sorrow and grieve as others who have no hope. For our hope is in your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who will come again to judge the world and to raise from the grave and glorify the bodies of the redeemed, who will live with him forever in the new heavens and the new earth. And so today, Father, we ask for a special measure of the peace of God that passes all understanding in the hearts and minds of the family of George and Tracy and all those who are here today and the loved ones of Virginia, as we remember and honor this dear friend, Artie Klicka. Amen. Artie was a familiar face here, of course, at Grace Community Church in West Allis, Wisconsin, for many years, and she is well known and loved by everyone in our congregation. Artie was born in Milwaukee on August the 10th, 1936. She enjoyed a good long life and went to be with the Lord at the age of 84 years at 9 a.m. on Saturday, February 13th, 2021. In 1954, Artie graduated from Wauwatosa High School, and she went on to study at UW-Milwaukee, and she became a secretary at an insurance company called O-Line Life Company on Wisconsin Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. When I asked George Klicka how the two of them met, he said it was through a blind date, but then when he described it to me, it wasn't really a blind date. Because a work associate of George took him into the office where all the secretaries worked and asked which one he would like a date with for a special upcoming Christmas party. And George picked out the one in the red dress, which turned out to be Artie. And the two of them, of course, stayed together and were eventually married on February the 28th, 1960 in Wauwatosa. George Klicka was involved in Wisconsin politics as a state representative for 14 years. And he and Artie enjoyed Wauwatosa community and made many lifelong friends in that neighborhood. And George and Artie, of course, had one child, Chris, who was born April the 2nd, 1961. Chris went to be with the Lord on October the 12th, 2009, at the age of 48. After 15 years of battle with multiple sclerosis, he survived by his wife, Tracy, and seven children. In some ways, Chris was George and Artie's real claim to fame, and George agreed with me about that when I talked to him recently. He was an outstanding advocate for Christian homeschooling. He was an outstanding author and speaker who was memorialized by such well-known Christians as Johnny Erickson Tada. And you could seldom have a conversation with Artie without her expressing her pride in her son, usually with tears in her eyes. Artie became a Christian May the 22nd, 1971. She was a faithful housewife and mom, and her valuable contribution to George, according to the family and friends, was loyalty and honesty. Her family said that if you were around Artie for very long, the lesson you would learn from her was not to swear. The most important things to her, according to family and friends, were Jesus and Chris. Artie has seven grandchildren and five great-grandchildren. Now, I have some comments to read that were given to me by some folks who weren't able to be here today. And so I'll read these, and there'll be some other live comments from people here as well. First of all, it's a note from Sandy Halliburton. She says, "Artie, my forever friend, you enjoyed so much joy and experienced so much sorrow, but your faith you shared even when you were hurting. Now you are in glory, my friend. Praise be to God." Sandy Halliburton. Then a note from Lori Kreuzer, another good friend of Artie's and a former member of the church who's, I think, down in Florida now. But anyway, she says, "Artie was like a second mom to me and grandma to my children. She befriended all the homeschooling moms and became one of us. She was our biggest supporter and encourager. When her own grandchildren were in town, we'd do activities together. One time we all went over to her house, and I remember taking a picture of Artie with about 20 of all of our kids surrounding her. She was in her element. She had little money, no driver's license, and many health issues. But she didn't let any of that stop her from reaching out to people, befriending them and loving them. She attended birthday parties with us, homeschool field days, mom's night out. And for George's and Artie's 50th wedding anniversary, we took them out to dinner to celebrate. And she was a dear friend to us all, and she will be greatly missed." And then a note from Rebecca Antonio. Rebecca Antonio. She says, "It was a joy to meet Artie back when our oldest, Joseph, was 33. Was just five. He's 33 now. He was only five when they met Artie. Her love for babies and children was one of their specialties. Every birthday and every holiday was sure to bring a card, always decorated with stickers and filled with pictures, clippings, and newsy updates. No doubt we received hundreds of these over the years. And I know those cards represented many, many prayers. She even got George involved last Christmas, and it was so special to get a card signed by George, by both of them. Thank you, George. What a treasure it was to receive an album chronicling our adventures." You know, Rebecca and Gina Antonio were missionaries in India and elsewhere around the world, and already put together an album chronicling their adventures around the world, including letters that were sent to her. Thank you, Artie, for your love. Artie, she says, was a connection person. That's true about Artie. She was a connection person for missionaries and so forth. Introductions and relationships were so important to her. I still count as friends people we met around her table at a restaurant after a meeting. Artie's commitment to the Lord and truth never wavered, even in her own loss and suffering. She is an example of perseverance through it all. 2 Corinthians 9 talks about a cheerful giver. That is what Artie was. She gave and loved in any way she could. Her life of helping and loving brings out heartfelt thanks to God from so many. Thank you, dear Lord, for Artie's life. And another note here from Pam Courtney, but I understand she's supposed to be here later on, so I'll save that one. Thank you.
I believe that sharing memories is one of God's ways of comforting us when we have a loss of a loved one. And so, in our grieving process, I hope this helps us a little bit to comfort you guys. With that being said, I would like to share with you a few of the memories I have of Ardeth. Ardeth loved to celebrate life. She loved celebrating birthdays by sending wonderful cards and personal letters And if you were lucky, you'd get a picture or two in the card. We would also go to lunch with her with some of the lady friends. There, we would laugh a lot and share a lot of stories of what was happening in our lives. She was also so much to be around on St. Patrick's Day. Every year around the second week in March, I would look forward to getting one of her cute cards with shamrock stickers all over it. And if I was lucky, she would also include some more pictures of other events that we enjoyed with her. I also remember one time, this was years ago, she came up to me after church, and I was by the seats, and she was so happy and excited. I said, "Artis, what's up?" She goes, "Geraldine, I just found out that I'm 1/16th Irish." That was pretty funny. We both got a laugh out of that. Another fond memory I have is one on the 4th of July. I had a party at my house. Artis and George came, and Artis saw my mini bike parked in the yard. I have kind of a big yard. But Artis said, "Can I sit on the mini bike?" I said, "Sure." And much to our surprise, she took off and was going all over the place. And I'm thinking, here there's a 70-year-old woman, 70-some years old, riding her own on a mini bike. Then afterwards, I had a big American flag, like huge, tacked onto our wooden fence. And she goes, "I want to pose for a picture under that flag with the mini bike." And it was hilarious. I need to find that picture. It was a fond memory. Excuse me. And then I also remember when she broke her foot. And I think it was from riding a bike. It got caught under the pedal somehow. She was hobbling around on a cast for a couple weeks when I broke my foot at work. And so we were both hobbling around on casts for a month or so. That was pretty funny. It was crazy funny, according to Artis. And on a little more serious side, I recall the many times when I'd come to her with my personal problems and mishaps, and I'd be going crazy at some of our politicians, the way they were doing stuff, and she would always gently lead me back into Scripture and kind of give me comfort doing that. And I also remember I could always count on her when I was going to head to the abortion clinics or to the gay pride or wherever I was going to try to give the gospel. Artis was my prayer warrior. I could count on it. And those prayers were very much appreciated. And then towards the end, I remember she didn't ask for prayer for the pain to be removed. She asked for endurance. And I'll never forget that. I prayed for her. And I'll miss you, Artis. But I know I'll see you again in heaven.
So I was one of those homeschool moms that she befriended. She befriended all of us homeschool moms. And I do have lots of fond memories of her taking my kids bike riding or down to walk along the river. She always had a servant's heart in helping young moms to be able to fulfill their duty as moms. She was definitely a prayer warrior, as Geraldine said. She prayed for each of our children. I know that she prayed mightily for Chris and his family and each of his children, and then the 5 great-grandchildren. She would pray for those Mama Precious, as she would call them, the little ones that she would care for at the ladies' Bible study at Meadowbrook. And she was always praying for the homeschool kids, for their futures, that they would stay faithful to the Lord. And she prayed for George often. This last year, I was blessed that she and I became prayer partners over the telephone. We had Tuesdays with Artie. We had conversations. She would speak to me about what was going on in the world. She often would chronicle what was going on in her health and in her family's life, and always wanted to know what was going on in each of my children's life, with people here at church, always a concern and looking to be able to pray. As we prayed, or before we prayed, she always recounted and gave praise to God for the answers to prayer that she had received, how God had sustained her through her battle with cancer, the fall off the bike, even in Chris's suffering, how God was faithful, the provision for his needs so many times. But also in her grief and profound loss over Chris when she didn't think she could go on, just how God sustained her. And she was grateful to the Lord for doing that. She would always remind me and preach to herself that God's ways and purposes are high above ours, our understanding, but that his ways and purposes were perfect, even if she didn't understand them. She did understand that suffering was to be an expected part of life and served God's perfect plan. She shared that God used Chris's suffering, not in spite of his suffering, but because of his suffering, he was able to have a greater impact for Christ. Her desire, honestly, was that she too would be, that she would suffer well. She had many ailments that plagued her, and her desire was not to get bogged down in how she was suffering. She wanted to bring glory and honor to God in the midst of her suffering. And one of the ways she did that was often when she was in the hospital, whoever it was, she would engage them in conversation about faith, her faith and their faith. She often would say, "Oh, we have to pray for him because he grew up in a Christian home, but he doesn't walk." And so she would take those little opportunities to talk to people about Christ when she was in the midst of her suffering. And I think that's something we could all learn to do from her. I remember she shared a story about when the shooting happened at the Sikh temple. It was her discussion with the young man upstairs about her faith in God. And he was markedly changed after that in her demonstration of faith and caring, and how she lived her faith really impacted him. She used to say, "I know I'm just complaining," but she wasn't really complaining. Her prayer requests were really lamentations. And when the Bible, you know, there are many psalms that are lamentations, and of course there's the book of Lamentations. It's a lamentation because she demonstrated great faith to believe that God is sovereign and had the power and ability that he could heal her if that's what he wanted to do. She had a hopeful expectation that he would heal her. She did. But she also had an acceptance that he might not heal her, and that would still be his perfect will. Geraldine mentioned that she had shared with her about the endurance thing. Many Tuesdays, our conversations ended, that her prayer request was not necessarily that God would heal her, because she was at the end of her life and she knew that. But she asked, please pray that I would have perseverance and have the strength to endure, to be useful for God's purpose. And that just blew my mind that that's where her thoughts were as she was waiting to die, as she said. Well, she has finished her race, and she is home with the Lord. One verse that she really enjoyed was from Revelation 21:4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the torment, for the former things have passed away. She was looking forward to her home in glory, that she would be reunited with Chris and they would be dancing and praising the Lord together. And I am certain she is there now.
Hello. Ardith was a precious, encouraging, and supportive friend to me, and I was blessed beyond measure through the Lord to have her in my life. Through Ardith's life, she was a role model to me in her devotion to the Lord, her dedication to homeschooling movement, and her son, Chris. She was a role model to me in her love and caring for her 7 grandchildren and the many children she cared for in the church daycare. Artie was a testimony of enduring through some rather... Has everybody heard me so far? Okay. Artie was a testimony of enduring through some rather serious health matters. I remember when she was diagnosed with breast cancer and she made a courageous decision to travel the road of alternative treatment to recover from her cancer, even though she faced some opposition from those around her to do that. However, Artie remained strong in her resolution, her fortitude, and with prayer and time, Artie's cancer was eradicated. Looking back, Artie was an extraordinary testimony to me. I admired her strong fortitude in going forth with what she felt was best in helping her recover, even though people disagreed with her. Artie was instrumental in spurring me on in the pro-life movement and was a merciful source of encouragement to me in sharing my testimony. And then I'm going to read something. It's called The Man in the Arena by Theodore Roosevelt. Some of you may be familiar with this. It was a speech he gave in Paris in April of 1910 after stepping down from being president. And it talks about the people that are in the battle, that are in the arena. Artie was such a watchman on the wall, and she was such an example to me. She was so supportive to me. Anyway, here goes. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Thank you.
Hi. Hi, George. I know. Do I take off the heels? I don't know. Okay. George, Tracy, grandkids. Artie was my Rush Dooney and a new American buddy. We understood how the world was crumbling together from the powers that be, and how God has given us the blueprint for ordering our governments and and that God was going to take care of everything. But we loved, we were able to share. She was inspiring the way she lived to bike with her grandkids and their friends and her beloved Tosa Bajas. She loved children, and I know it's been mentioned before about the daycare, and babysat many friends from Chris's Christian school, and she worked in the school so he could go and get a good Christian education. And over at that school, she was everyone's political advisor. And let's see. And then, yeah, another homeschool mom had said she was such an encouragement of the mom was thinking about doing the charter public school for Christian school. And she said, no, you have to raise your children to the Lord. The Lord needs to be in every subject in all of your life. So she just really fought for that and was just encouragement to all the new moms, especially new homeschool moms, and sharing Chris's papers and stuff on that and just encouraging that. The last two or three years before her move, we'd go to the evening TOSA concerts, relaxing, enjoying the sunsets and the people. We loved being together. I loved hearing her and George's love grow as they went into their sunset years. She was a sister in the Lord and a good friend.
Hello. Can anybody hear me? So first of all, hello, George. We're praying for you and everyone in the Klicka family. So Artie was a very dear friend of mine. I loved Artie just as I love my own mother. I called her regularly at St. Vincent's Hospital and before that at the Beaumont Skilled Nursing Care Unit. I just want to say that the nurses at the St. Vincent Hospital were an exceptional blessing. When Artie was not able to hold the phone, because she was too weak, the nurses were very compassionate and kind. The nurse would take the phone, and she would say, I'm going to hold the phone to Artie's ear. So she said, she needs to hear your message. She needs to hear from people that love her. So she said, just talk a few minutes, and I'll hold the phone to her ear. And so I did just that. I would pray with Artie. I would tell her that I love her. And I would tell her that many people were sending her love and prayers. You know, Artie loved Facebook. She absolutely loved Facebook. She kind of lived on Facebook. That's how she connected with people. So on those calls, I would read Facebook posts to her. I would read to her what others had posted on her own Facebook page. And I would read things off Tracy's page. And Artie would sometimes ask me to look up people on Facebook and find out what they're up to. So she would ask me what they're posting, and sometimes she would ask me to send them a private message to just call her. So I was sending messages out to people that I already knew them, but I would say, hey, Artie asked me to ask you to call her, so I put her phone number in there. And many of you did. Many people did call Artie. And that was such a great blessing. And she enjoyed hearing the Facebook messages that were posted, and she enjoyed hearing from those who did call her. It brought her much joy and comfort to hear the many words of encouragement that were directed at her. But the most calming and effectual words that I read to Artie were words from Scripture. The Word of God is living, and it's able to lift the soul and bring unspeakable comfort. The Word of God brings almost, I can't explain it, like a peculiar, distinct calm that's discernible, even when times when your life is fading. Artie heard those messages. I would call Artie every day, and I was able to whisper encouraging passages of Scripture and pray with her and gently encourage her as the nurses held the phone to Artie's ear. And her prayers were always consistent. Artie loved to be with her beloved son, Chris, and she wanted to be face-to-face with her Lord and Savior, and that was Artie's fervent prayer. And the Lord answered that prayer on the morning of February 13th, 2021. His mercy endures forever. And now I'd like to encourage you who are here, who are hearing this, with some of the words Words cannot express the brokenness of heart when we lose someone. There's just no words. But Jesus knows our suffering, and he tells us this in what might be the most profound verse in the Bible, and also the shortest verse. John 11:35. Jesus wept.
We weep with you, George. We weep with you, Tracy, and all in the Klicka family. We take comfort in knowing that there will be no more tears, no more pain, because Artie is seeing Jesus face to face, and she's with her beloved son, Chris Klicka, and they are experiencing heaven together now. Therefore, comfort one another with these words from 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those who love them. That's 1 Corinthians 2:9. Blessed is the Lord our God, and there is great joy in heaven today. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And that's Psalm 116:15. It was a great blessing that George and Tracy made a trip to the hospital there to be able to be with Artie. And it was just such a blessing to me that even with all this COVID stuff, they were able to be by her bedside in person. So for that, we give praise to the Lord, and his mercy does endure forever. And I just ask you all to just lift up Tracy and George especially, and everyone in their family, all of her grandchildren. And a very precious thank you to Susanna and Bobby, who were taking care of George and Artie for the few years that they were out there. And so I just thank you all for this. Yeah, thank you very much.
Proverbs 10, verse 7, states, "The memory of the righteous is a blessing." References to the blessing that it is to remember the life of the righteous person, and certainly rings true this afternoon. Hardith Klicka is a child of God through faith in Christ. He was a strong advocate for the truth and the glory of Jesus Christ. And the Lord has taken her home, but He's left us the precious riches of her memory. And we've gathered this afternoon to remember her. And it's a blessing to remember her. As for me, I think fondly of Ardith's faithful participation in the life of Grace Community Church, where she was tightly linked in love to the body. I also hold dear the memories myself of some of those cards with all the stickers for birthdays and pastor appreciation and sometimes out of the blue. Also memories of visits that I had with Ardith in Georgia in their home. Ardith dealt with some real hurts and heartaches and suffering in her life, but she did not stop trusting her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. She persisted in confidently resting her hope in the unshakable Word of God. And one of Ardith's favorite texts of Scripture was Isaiah 40, verse 8. It says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God will stand forever." I want to turn to the powerful Word of God now for some strength and encouragement. I want to speak to you this afternoon, from John chapter 16. So listen, please, as I read from verse 16 to verse 22. Jesus is talking to His disciples. It's in the course of a long series of things that He had of importance to say to them. And He tells them, "A little while, and you will see Me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see Me." So some of the disciples said to one another, "What is this that He says to us? A little while and you will not see Me. And again a little while and you will see Me, and because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does He mean by a little while? We do not know what He is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask Him, so He said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see Me, and again a little while and you will see Me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Those words, comforting words from Jesus, in which He is seeking to prepare His disciples for the sorrowful reality of His imminent departure from them, when He will no longer be with them in body. So He says, "A little while and you will see Me no longer." It would, He says, be a time of sorrow for the disciples. Jesus alerted the disciples solemnly, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. You will be sorrowful when I'm gone." Jesus, on the other hand, said the world would be rejoicing and be glad to get rid of Him, but His people will miss Him. It's clear that Jesus was speaking of His physical return to be with His Father. The Spirit of God would be with His disciples, but He would not be with them in the same way He had been with them previously. It would be a distressing time for them. And truly, this is the way it is. Whenever God takes out from among us one of our loved ones, it is painful and sorrowful. We cannot help but hurt and grieve, no matter how much we are fueled by hope. No matter how much hope we have, it is a sorrowful time. It was to be this way with the disciples of Jesus when He departed, and it will be this way for us when God takes loved ones home. And yet, Jesus is telling these things to His disciples to stabilize them when the billows of sorrow sweep over their souls. He points beyond the sorrow to a joy that would far outdo and outlast the sorrow they would know. He uses the figure of a woman giving birth and points out when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. The birth process is difficult and painful. But once the baby has been delivered, the sorrow is forgotten. She no longer remembers the anguish. It is forgotten for the joy that her child has been born. I remember the birth of my firstborn. It was a long day. But what stands out for me was the joy of celebrating with the church family that was out in the waiting room when he was born, and our delight to have him. And that long day gets lost in the joy of the subsequent years of watching him grow and flourish. And Jesus' point here is that his departure is going to be like this. Painful, difficult. It will hurt for a while, but there is an eclipsing joy just over the horizon. Jesus explains in verse 22, "So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." He speaks, of course, there of his return. From the day that Jesus ascended until the day he returns, it is a time of sorrow to speak, because he's absent in body. But when he returns to earth, he will gather all his people together and we will see him. The sheep of Jesus will see him and we will be with him eternally. And we will know joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the joy will never end. As Jesus declares, no one will take your joy from you. This is the blessed hope that sustains Christ's people in days of sorrow. You and I do not experience the absence of Jesus in the same way that the disciples did. We've never had him in our presence bodily. But we do experience the absence of loved ones as they die and go home to be with him. We certainly are in the midst of that experience right now as we all sorrow that the Lord has taken Ardith home. But we do not sorrow as the world does, that is, without hope. Our sorrow we recognize is momentary because of the promise Jesus has given us here about his own return. We know that Jesus is coming again, and we can also know that when he comes, he will bring with him the believers who have gone on ahead to be with him now. 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17 says, "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, we will always be with the Lord." This promise should never get old for the people of God. We yearn for the presence of Christ. We sorrow now in the death of his saints. But we are not without hope. In fact, we are promised a glorious homecoming to a place we have never been before. From the day of our conversion to Christ, we turn to God and trust in Christ and have sins forgiven. And we love him and serve him, and we begin a process of waiting. We wait longingly for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So this is the believer's hope. Ardith's faith in Christ is well known. And though her body died, she nevertheless lives. As Jesus explained to Martha outside the tomb of Lazarus, "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." It's not just that shall live again someday soon, but shall not ever die. So even when the believer body dies, they're in the presence of the Lord, still living, longingly waiting for being reclothed with the body on that great day of his return. By Jesus' life and death and resurrection, Jesus delivers those who believe in him from God's coming wrath. He's overcome, and he desires to stabilize us in faith and hope as we sorrow in this time and encounter troubles and heartache. Well, Jesus concluded his remarks about his departure and his return by explaining in John 16:33, why he had told the disciples all these things. He said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." If you are in Christ, as is Ardith Klicka, this peace and confidence is meant for you too. Jesus overcame the world of tribulation, the world that rejoices when Jesus goes away, the world that rejoices when he dies on the cross, the world of sorrow and woe, the world of hostility towards the faith and the truth, the world languishing under the prince of the power of the air. Jesus has overcome so that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. By his life and death and resurrection, he has overcome. And those who turn from sin and trust in Jesus join him as overcomers in him. Ours may be trouble, but our death is the entrance to a great and eternal joy in Jesus, which he says here will not be taken from you. And through him, we can know peace and hope even now. Undoubtedly, some who are sharing in this memorial service do not share Ardith's hope. You do not know peace and joy and hope because you are not believing in Christ Jesus. You are dead in your trespasses and sins against God. You live according to the course of this world. You live in the passions of your flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and are by nature a person who deserves and abides under the wrath of God. You need rescue from your sin. You need to believe in Jesus. Otherwise, your destiny is an eternity of abiding under God's outpoured wrath. We are able to rejoice today for Ardith because years ago she began a walk with Jesus as her Lord and Savior through faith in his work on the cross. Would that if you have not begun that walk, today and this occasion would be the time in which God is convicting you of your sin. And saddled with the burden, you turn to Jesus as the one who died to pay sin's penalty. He was risen again so that we might be declared righteous in God's sight and have this hope that though for a moment here we are sad as we are missing Christ, but that day is coming when he returns to get his people and he will have joy. And no one will be able to take that joy away. And let's pray. Our Father, as we come to this time in this service, we're thanking you once again for all the many ways in which you have blessed our lives enormously through the life of your servant, Ardith Klicka. The many memories that have been shared have helped us be mindful of how precious she has been not only to us, but in so many people that we know and have come to know because we know her. Thank you, Lord, for her. Thank you for her life. Thank you for her testimony. Thank you for her perseverance. And thank you for the hope that we have now, that even as we come and she is absent, and just like the disciples would become sad when Jesus was no longer with them, we are sad that Ardith is no longer with us. But, Lord, thank you that Jesus is coming back and he's bringing her with him along with all the others who in Christ have died. Thank you for that hope that we will see Jesus again and along with him all those who have longed for his appearing, and that you're promising a joy future that comes to visit us even in the present to sustain us in our sorrow. A joy of hopeful expectation, being in the presence of the glory of Christ and having the joy of the Lord that no one will ever be able to take away. It is our prayer for the family of Ardith, Lord, that you sustain them with that hopeful longing, those whose faith is in Jesus, and those who are perhaps not walking with Christ, who are far from him, that you would, Lord, use these circumstances and this time and even this truth, these truths, to convict them and draw them to Christ, that they would trust in Jesus and join the company of those who look longingly for his return and will share in the joy unspeakable and full of glory. pray that you comfort their family, comfort this church family, as we also lament and think about how much we have been blessed by Arda. But Lord, fill us with the hope that you've given us, that death is not the end, that for the believer in Christ, even though we die, yet shall we live in Christ alone, in whose name we pray.
Thank you.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in you in hope. You're dismissed.
Amen.